I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The Outer Sanctum is being recorded today on the lands of both the Wurundjeri people and the Wadawurrung people of the Kulin Nation. We pay our respects to elders past and present.
Good plan, good plan. Who thought of this one?
You're listening to the Outer Sanctum podcast.
Here is a moment in time in the history of the AFL.
In from the side, Houghton. She was surrounded by blue jumpers.
Groundbreakers, history makers.
Welcome to the Outer Sanctum for another week. What a weekend of footy that was. Multiple goals of the year, marks of the year, close games, even a draw, and all in a week when we had the huge group pick of all the clubs with their AFLM and AFLW players. I've been clutching my pearls since Wednesday last week. My name is Emma Race and I am joined by two of the great loves of my life, an historian and an almost lawyer. I'm going to let them introduce themselves.
Hello, I'm Lucy Race.
Which
I'm not the
which?
Lawyer.
And I am not the historian. I'm Tess Armstrong. How are you, my lady loves? It's so good to see you.
I think we've got to go a little bit inside the group chat again. Usually we would record on a Tuesday, but the group chat was just going absolutely off chops on the weekend. The footy was so exciting. There was so much going on. And we felt, you know what? Tuesday's too far away. We've got to get in here and just absolutely start getting stuck into some footy chat right now. It was so exciting.
It was so exciting. So I'm going to just run through a list. We're going to get to highlights, but I'm going to run through a list of some of the things that made the highlights this weekend. Papley, Jay Dacos and Danaher all looked like they had ball on a string for their goal of the year contenders. And Jamari Ugalhagen, clutch AF for the Dogs against the Ds. Georgiadis Mark for Ports. Sad screamer for Carlton and Toby's grab with an aerial twist. The Russian judge loved it, gave it a 10. The Tigers playing on for their draw detriment, while Jamie Elliott's mark and goal to win the match for the Pies was 110% drama. There is so much to choose from here. Lucy, what was your highlight?
I think it's kind of fitting, this one, because what I'm going to go with is team celebrations, because we were treated to a number of team celebrations this weekend. I'm going to do my 3-2-1. My three is the Hawks all getting around Jack Gunston when he kicked his first goal of what was to be 5 goals and he kissed his black armband. And I don't think there was a dry eye. Anyone watching, we know how close Jack was to his dad, and it was a fitting tribute. And the thing that just made me really tear up was watching all of his teammates get to him and give him a hug. Secondly, the Dogs celebrating when Jamara kicked that incredible goal from the arc, outside the arc. And I loved his celebration. I love how, you know, when players just turn to the crowd and he does that greatest showman moment. Beautiful. But how could you go past the absolute stacks on the mill pylon of those Collingwood players as they jumped on top of the coolest customer, Jamie Elliott, after he sealed that win. It was extraordinary to watch. I was a tad concerned that Maynard had really furthered his shoulder injury in those celebrations. You see him kind of walk away going, ooh, it might have gone a bit too hard. But how good is it to see just that, the spontaneous show of emotion? Loved
it. It was beautiful. And also I did feel that Collingwood were doing it. You know, they had the death of Billy Pickett had probably just hit the group before they played that game, and the commentators made mention of it. And we would like to also mention the passing of Billy Pickett and just send so much love to Annie Nolan and Liam Pickett, who were both friends of the pod. And I know that Collingwood people, but all footy people, were really feeling that as well. Tess, what was your highlight? It obviously wasn't the Tigers.
I don't know what you're talking about. I had a blackout at my house on Friday night, and I have seen no results, and I've chosen not to look at them. Now, Lucy spoke about group celebrations, and I just have to do big shout-outs to some individual goal celebrations. Jamara Ugelhagen's goal, obviously ridiculous, right? And he was so composed in his celebration. He was just like, yeah, that's what I do. This is who I am. Another celebration and an award that I really want to give a shout-out to, and it doesn't feature on Brownlow night, but it should, which is just a play that's very fun to watch. People that you just love watching. And this week I have to give that to Essendon's Sam Draper, who has both the look that I'm looking for in a fun-to-watch player, which is a raging mullet, very tall, takes up the space that has been given to him and plays with his whole heart. And I remember last year watching when the Bombers were having a bit of a downtime, he always looked very affected by that and then also extremely thrilled when the team was going well. And I just love when a player really feels it on behalf of all the fans. And he kicked a cracking goal on the weekend, and his celebration was exceptional. He ran a mile, absolutely, knees up. It was like an extra exercise. High steps. It's like the only exercise I would do would have been his goal celebration after the actual impact. And so that was absolutely fantastic. Another little highlight. There was a goal from Josh Dacos. It was exceptional. But the bit I loved the most was the very wholesome and healthy parental pride on show from his dad, Peter Dacos, the great player himself. And I love that Peter Dacos loves watching his boys play footy as much as we do. It's just like he's a random. You gave us these gifts, Peter. So take some pride in your own work there. But, yeah, it was absolutely delightful.
He ain't no random.
He ain't no random.
I love that too. I love seeing that parental pride because it's, you know that the pride is there, but often it's in this undercurrent of like just be cool and don't actually express it openly. And that was just love of the game stuff, and the fact that his son had done it, like I reckon he would have been on his feet regardless, because it was just such an amazing goal. He looks like, in my mind, it's like the buddy goal when he kind of from that same side of the ground, actually, where he's running and he jumps over roadkill, like there's players in front of him, and he just kind of leaps all the people, runs out, sells some candy, bounces
and
it to himself.
Drops on him.
Yeah, that's right.
Some dynamite like goes off.
It's like he's the road runner.
It's a goal you absolutely have to kick as well. It's one of those moments where if you see someone tap it to themselves and they haven't looked for another option, you just think, you've got to kick this goal, and he did. So it was all worth it.
I can't wait to get into a conversation about clutch and what the opposite of clutch is, because I think that we're going to talk about that in the melee today. My highlight was Josh Carmichael coming in, the medical sub for the Pies, came on and kicked two goals, after which I named the Carmichael move Chekhov's medical sub in what I think is probably the greatest feat of bringing in pop culture references, art and football together, because if you're going to show a gun at the start of the game, it better go off somewhere during the game. So Chekhov's medical sub for me was Josh Carmichael this week. Unbelievable. It is time for us to melee, my friends. But so look, I'm looking at this list of melee topics. And it says, it's just ridiculous. It says COVID safe grand final parade floating down the river, pets at the football, clutch, draws, and head high. I think we should start with the serious ones, and then we'll get into the silly things, because I feel like I've got a lot of mascot talk to catch up on. I just saw Mason Cox tweeting, actually, and I've got to say I love it when Mason Cox tweets, because he actually says something. He's like an AFLW player. He actually says something on Twitter. Like, he really goes there. And what he was talking about was the head high rule, and Ginnivan, who didn't get paid head high because the umpires deemed that he lowered through his knees, lowered his body. But I look at that, I'm like, man, that would have made me feel pretty ripped off if he didn't get – he was right round his neck. Tess, have you got some opinions on this?
Oh, I have so many opinions on this, and I don't really have a strong opinion. I come from both. I can see all sides. For people who didn't quite catch up, during the week the AFL essentially tweaked a rule that already exists around high contact and said that if the tackle is reasonable, you know, in the circumstances or whatever, and there's no prior opportunity and the ball carrier is responsible for the high contact, therefore, you know, they've shrugged or ducked or lowered their knees, it'll be play on. And this all came out essentially because of Ginnivan. So he became the central focus of that. Now, first of all, we have to point out that Ginnivan is 100% not the first player to be doing this. In fact, there's a very famous player playing at a different Victorian club who may or may not be extremely famous for a duck. But this all became about him and essentially is what the umpire saw, that Ginnivan had dropped into the tackle from Mason Redmond. And I don't think that watching it back, it's possible to think that. He is also a short person, so I feel like these are so many variables coming together about one person. But the issue is, I think some people have said it's unfair that one person becomes the centre of a story like that, but that's actually just what happens. I mean, even in non-footy world, if you're thinking about there's a high-profile incident outside a nightclub or a high-profile case of fraud or a high-profile whatever, then the rules and the laws always try and catch up to that thing that everyone's talking about. So I don't actually think it's unfair that this one person is the centre of a story, because that's just how it works, I think. But I do think that Collingwood would be right to question whether or not he's ever going to be able to get a fair go. Because if you think about it, and you're going into umpire a game, and that's the guy over there that the rule's been changed about, and everyone in the whole MCG, 70,000 people are yelling about it, is he ever going to get a fair go? And Mason Cox's point was excellent, where he essentially said high tackles were put in the game to protect the player's health, and now they're being ignored. How can we think the AFL cares about concussions and head high contact after this? So I don't know where I sit with it. I don't think it's unfair that he's become the guy, because he was the guy. But I do think it's very important from here on out that there appears to be integrity in the way rules are applied, and it doesn't feel like he's being unfairly targeted every week, because in this instance anyone could tackle him however they like if you're an opposition player thinking you're going to get away with it.
This is what I've started to come around to thinking, is that the game doesn't just have rules to adjudicate the parameters of the game, that what happens now is that the rules are tweaked because coaches find their way around it, and so do players. So this doesn't happen in a vacuum. The reason why Ginnivan plays like that is because he might have watched a lot of Geelong over time, right? And so he's seen that that's one way that you can get the ball yourself. It feels unfair, I think, to label him as that person. But, you know, I think back to Toby Green or Sam Mitchell. They both had like something unique that they did that had to be stamped out of the game. So I'm kind of in two minds where I'm like, well, head high is, I take it incredibly serious and I don't want to see it. I don't want to see that be the way that people are getting the ball. But I do think that sometimes someone has to be a lightning rod for that conversation. At the moment, it's him, but I don't think that he started it. You know, I feel like, in the words of Billy Joel, he didn't start the fire, Lucy.
I think, you know, it's interesting. It all gets caught up in these conversations around rule changes. And where I think there's an important distinction is that there are some rule changes that are brought in, like standing on the mark, which is all about trying to make the game faster, or, you know, it might be to try and stop, you know, something that coaches have been bringing into the game. This particular rule change is there because, you know, the whole thing about not having high contact is to protect the head. And I can understand that it's really important that if you see players who are doing things to actually invite contact to the head, you need to stamp it out. And the best way to do that is not by rewarding them and giving them the ball. Where it's really frustrating is when you do see, you know, that example of Jack Ginnivan, that should have been a free kick. And even in the video that the AFL put out, the one that they said, you know, and I think it was James Blank for Hawthorn, and they said, you know, this shouldn't be a free kick. Now, that didn't look clear to me. I think, you know, there are players who, the way that they run, the way that they move, I'm thinking of players like Paul Puopolo, players like Sam Mitchell, players like Joel Selwood, who have that strength through their core where they kind of do twist and duck and weave, and they deserve to be protected. Their heads deserve to be protected as well. I think we just have to cop that there might be some footy decisions that we struggle with, but the most important thing is that we, as a code, make sure that we are protecting heads of players. And that's going to be something that's, you know, so important going forward. I saw this week that, and this is a really tough story, but Ty Zantuck, he used to play for Richmond and played for Essendon and has sadly been out of the game. He has some terrible injuries that he's continuing to have to deal with as a result of his time as a footballer. He's won the right in the Victorian Supreme Court to sue Richmond over back and head injuries that he claims he sustained while he was playing for the club. And look, it's a landmark decision because it recognises Ty as an employee of the Richmond Football Club, and it may actually challenge a duty of care case that has thus far protected the AFL from this kind of legal action. Ty alleges that he wasn't given appropriate care for his injuries and that he was allowed to play on and train despite having repeated head knocks. He last September was diagnosed with traumatic encephalopathy syndrome, which sadly indicates that he is likely to develop CTE. So it's a, you know, that's the other big part of this story that we have to grapple with as a code, that we have a duty of care to these athletes.
Yeah, another part of that case, which is a watch and see, is essentially that the reason why he has been given the green light to go forward is because in normal law, there's a time limit for personal injury claims, which is 6 years after the injury occurred. And what we're seeing essentially with sports people is that it's not taking that linear path. It's not necessarily within the 6 years. Or I know that Ty had attempted to take action back in 2006, 2012 as well, but he wasn't diagnosed till 2021. That's a really long time. That's a lot more than 6 years. And so we're going to see this all over the world in all sorts of sports. We saw it as well. There was a Welsh rugby captain, Ryan Jones, who's 41 years old, a legend of the sport, and announced that he has early onset dementia. And there was a quote that he said where he said, I lived 15 years of my life as a superhero and I'm not, and I don't know what the future holds, and said how scared he was really and that his life was falling apart. And I thought when I listened to that, it was just a couple of days after the State of Origin, right? We were talking about biffos and how great it is. And it got me thinking about how the concussion conversation in sport feels a lot like, and I know this might seem like a leap, but the climate change debate and what we do on a daily basis, where it's almost too big for people to talk about in a non-emotional way. So when it comes to rule changes that are implemented to protect our heads, people go, that's a great idea. But then if we say, okay, in this instance, we're doing this so that you don't have early onset dementia at 40. And I feel like sometimes these conversations can feel like they're just too big for people to comprehend, because all we want to do is just love our sport and talk about the fun, talk about the mascots, right? I just want to do that too. But that's not what we get to do, because that's not the reality. And so these conversations are very hard, but very necessary if we're to keep playing the game we love forever.
Well, it makes us confront stuff that we don't want to confront. Mm. Like, we don't want to confront the fact that playing the sport that we love might actually leave people permanently disabled. Mm. We don't want to confront the fact that the planet will probably burn.
It's a bit grim.
Just while we're on concussion, I just want to mention a new study that somebody on Twitter alerted us to. So thank you, Dr. Zen. Great Twitter handle. The British Journal of Sports Medicine had a look at the data that informs the most influential consensus statements on sport-related concussion and how it's treated. And they were looking at that to quantify how much of that data included female athletes. What do you think the results were?
Did it include any female athletes?
Is there anyone?
Well, what it found is that there is significant underrepresentation of female athletes in the sample data. 80.1% was focused on male athletes, so that's less than 20%. And then in 40% of the studies, they had no female participation at all. So that's really quite damning.
It's probably on a par with crash test dummies, the health app on your iPhone.
Pharmaceuticals,
the way that helmets fit, all of the above.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I'm Kiara Bowes and you're listening to The Outer Sanctum.
Moving on, Tess, I'm going to take you back to the final moments of the Richmond game because you had a really interesting brain explosion over it. Because we're talking about clutch and I was actually thinking, what's the opposite of clutch? Is there an opposite of clutch? Is it getting the yips, you know, when golfers can't putt or something like that? But I actually don't think it is. I think clutch is it's a unique time and space and scoreline that you have to have a certain amount of elements for clutch to even be in the conversation. So I already dismissed the premise that there is clutch players and not clutch players. I don't know how you feel about that.
I honestly spiraled over the weekend after the draw. draws are another thing. Very inane. You know, they feel like they're gentle. Nothing really happens. Everyone goes home and has a good hard think about themselves. But then I had a good hard think about the situation at my club. Firstly, there's a stat going around about Collingwood, right? Collingwood winning over the weekend and how many close games Collingwood win. And that is so true. Yeah. And it's the opposite for Richmond.
So that's the opposite of clutch.
The opposite of clutch. I was manifesting, you know, part of my spiral was texting Rana about the fact that even when Richmond were in our glory years, when we were even in that time, we didn't really win close ones. We weren't really involved in close ones. There was a next level that we were able to go to and we were always winning by a few goals, an extra couple of goals. So, and one issue I noticed on the weekend, and I'd love to put it to the two of you, was obviously there were a few bad moments. There were a lot of bad moments for Richmond in the last quarter. A couple of the Noahs had some bad moments that if they think about it, they would say, I wish I would have that time again. And I didn't do that, but that's about all you can come away with that. Harrison Jones from Essendon had to watch the fact that he had his moment and then 20 seconds later, Jamie Elliott has his moment and he takes his moment and you didn't take your moment. And what happens, right? Now, everybody says, but there's a million moments in footy, and that's true, right? My Pollyanna moment says that's true. But there is some – when Jamie Elliott marked the ball yesterday, I knew he was going to kick it because he is the person that even from a young age, he always did that. He was always good in those moments. And so it is something different that allows that person to know in themselves that they can do it. I would argue with the Richmond moments, the Noah Bolter play on and the Noah Cumberland incident are quite different because one, you have more time. Noah Cumberland, I don't think he even knew what stage of the game that was at. You can see in the background Jack Riewoldt yelling, you know, to tell him that it's to stop, but he obviously doesn't hear that and then he's made a real meal of it. And I thought the first thing I thought was, oh no, this poor kid, because he's going to get absolutely slammed on social media by people all week, blah, blah, blah. Also, oh, you poor person. This everybody's watching a terrible moment for you. That makes me feel really sick. And thirdly, I watched who went to him from our team. And the first person that I saw really meaningfully chat to him was Trent Cotchin, who is no longer our captain. And I didn't see the other senior players with him on the ground. And maybe they were and I just didn't see it on the tally. But it made me think, hang on, you're like, love you, Coach. And I'm loving that you're still the person to do that. But I would love to see the others do that. And it made me think, is that a moment, Trent Cotchin talking to him in that moment, is that a moment that stops Noah Cumberland from falling into that trap again down the track? Does he then think, oh, okay, that was just one incident, I can do it? Whereas if you're isolated from your teammates or your coaches or you're trolled on social media, like I saw happen to Jake Arts, who is another Richmond player who'd done something similar the week before, who was trolled and had to, you know, delete his social media for a period of time. And I think, well, hang on, aren't they all the moments that manifest in someone not being clutch down the track?
I think those clutch moments are like the tip of an iceberg and there's so much that sits below the surface that, and a lot of it you don't get to see. Like, you know, it even goes back to what someone's temperament is. And, you know, there are people who do really well under pressure. There's people who don't. And we need all types.
Yeah, you saw the Collingwood people when they talked about Jamie Elliott. All the other players said, oh, yeah, once he had it, we were sorted. I think he was the type.
I think in terms of how you actually prepare athletes for that moment, that's the conversation that I think is really interesting. And that's where I do love that, you know, as time has gone on, we talk more about the above the shoulders, or as some people like to call it, above the head issues.
The above the head and below the ground. I like your concept, Tess, that what happens after a non-clutch moment could be the rebuilding or the building of your next clutch moment. I don't feel like I'm clutch. Mm. I feel like my self-talk is that I talk myself out of being clutch, and I know that I'll never be, you know, 50 metres out after the siren for Hawks, but I think there's other moments in my life where I will say to myself, you know, whatever you do, don't say the thing, don't say the thing, and then I'll say the thing. Or I'll get nervous about saying something to someone and then I'll screw it up, because in my mind I'm not clutch. I feel like you've opened up a little Pandora's box there, that maybe with some coaching and with the love and support of some good pod mates, I could become clutch.
But I would argue that you are clutch, because you're thinking about particular circumstances, and I think there'd be other times where you absolutely are clutch. Maybe it's reframing. I like to think of players like Isaac Smith, who famously missed a kick after or on the siren, and there was so much criticism about him smiling and joking around. And, you know, who are we to know what his preparation is, and who are we to know how, you know, what sort of expression he's meant to have on his face to perform at his optimum level. I think it's just all the chat. And I think anyone who has to do anything in front of a crowd, good on you for being out there. I would love to give Harry Jones a big hug.
A hug.
And say, I hope you're okay, mate, because, you know, at least you were there and were in the right spot.
That game brought up the conversation about draws, which I think that we're going to get into our lists of the stories that always get told, the football stories that go round and round on the merry-go-round or whatever, the hamster wheel, just the perennial stories that we can't get enough of. I actually don't mind the conversation around draws, but I don't mind a draw. I think a draw is a lovely part of our game that is really different to any other game. To be honest, you still get 2 points, and it can really affect where you end up at the end of the year. It's not like, oh, if it's a draw, you don't get to play the next week. But there is still a result. It's just it's half of a result. And I think that we have this constant need to know who's better than who. And the truth is, a draw is this lovely moment where you go, well, actually, we both played really different games, but at the end of the day, by the measurement that we use, we're both the same. And I actually think that it's a wonderful part of our game. But I know that, you know, not everyone agrees with that, because when you leave, you know, it's a bit flaccid for the whole maybe it's just because no one gets to sing the song, and the song is such an important part of the
song
game.
Is actually the only reason we go.
Yeah.
Maybe it's not about a trophy, it's just all about the song.
The song.
Hang on a minute.
Yeah.
There we go. But there's been draws that I've gone, I'll take that. There's been 1 point losses that I go, I'll take that too, but it's in a different way. What are your favourite hamster wheel stories that just go round and round, and what are your least favourite, Tess?
Well, first of all, I feel like Friday night, a draw was the most fitting result. Like, neither team was very good. I was a little bit sad to not hear the Freo song, because I love that song, as you know, the Do-Si-Do. But all the Tigers, yellow and black, but whatever. I can get over it. I can just go home, listen to it on my phone like a normal person, put on the Spotify playlist and just bang them all out, which I do every now and then just for a little bit of a sesh.
The kids do love it on the road trip, let's be honest.
The kids, I'm an adult. I sometimes think, like, if I went to the moon and was living there, like no internet, no nothing for a number of years and came back to Australia, it would be quite comforting, considering I'd just been living on the moon, that people were still just talking about whether or not we should have draws or not. Like, that's quite nice, because it's just something that only this part of the world really cares at all about. And so that is quite nice. But the dark side of it, though, is that you realise we're rolling along the kind of same opinions, because there's only a certain amount of people ever working in the media are like, you know, can women commentate, you know, those kinds of things. Like, yeah, I think they can. And so maybe we should just have a little box where we all as a football population vote on stories that we think have done their dash and can go into the box, and we're not allowed to. There's a big QI, like, alarm goes off every time someone tries to talk about it.
But the things that would go in that box, let me just say, is we all discussed whether it's appropriate for Wayne Carey to be a commentator and someone that we hold up as an icon of this game, and the majority went, yeah, no, we're fine with that, and they put that in the box.
That's true.
That does need revisiting.
Keep box.
Yeah. Okay,
but maybe, yeah, all right, maybe there's a middle box where, like,
okay, there's a middle box.
There's a middle box.
There's, like, when you're packing, there's keep, throw, and I don't know.
Totally.
They're the three boxes.
It's in a storage tub on top of my wardrobe.
Things we don't fit into at the moment, but we might one day.
Aspirational topics.
Aspirational pants.
Aspirational pants topics.
Anyway, so what I'm putting in the I'm not fitting into it box, it's not happening, it's going to Goodwill, is grand final time change, because I never want to hear another word about it or any conversation that we would ever change the time, and I'm sick of dealing with it every year. But my favourite is bring back State of Origin, because I want it back. Even though that is the same type of conversation, I want to keep kind of someone bringing it up every now and then so we can get it back eventually. Lucy?
I really would like that grand final time slot change conversation to never happen again. I would actually like it to be written in the rules of the game that it will only ever be at this time.
Yeah.
Just on that, I can never work out how long a game goes for.
Neither so can I.
Does anyone know this?
Time on tricks me. I don't know.
Yeah.
I
don't know. So, you know, when like someone says, meet me after the football, and I'm like, yeah, I don't know when that is.
How much is a banana, Michael? I don't know. That's where I'm at with it. Like, I just go straight to the banana stand. I'm like, it's five. It's somewhere between 3 and 5
Look, hours. I should be home by 7.
Oh, including I'm not public good with
time
transport.
Zones. Time zones don't work for me. So, like, this is in that conversation.
But I know how long an AFLW game goes for, because there's no time on, or else there's only time on at the end.
Yes. But no, like some of those conversations, I mean, gosh, they come up so often that they really do jump to mind. One of the ones I would like to put in the box that we don't talk about ever again is the conversation when one player is out of contract and we go for the whole season talking about whether that player is going to re-sign. I'd like that one. That one can go
so bad.
That one can go out with the recycling. Is X particular rule ruining the game? I'd quite like that one to go. I'm not a fan of that. And the other one that definitely can go, I'm hiring a skip myself for this one, is that the AFLW doesn't bring in any money. Shut up and be grateful.
John's bullshit.
So that conversation can go.
Yes.
Some of my favourite perennial conversations are the Brownlow is a midfielder's award. And I like that conversation because it's a travesty that that's what it's become. And we need more discussion so that I want to see defenders.
And rucks.
I want to see a ruck win the Brownlow. Yeah. And the other one is, you know, what we were talking about earlier. Like, I do think that concussion and the way that we look after players' health and well-being is a perennial conversation, and it is one that we do need to keep having, because it's not going to change if we just ignore it. We do need to really focus on it.
The one conversation that I was really tiring of, but we've changed the tenor of it, is players' partners pregnant during finals, or players' pregnant partners, should they be at the game or should they not be a game? I feel like that was boring for a really long time, but we didn't throw it out. We still have it, but now we accept it. I'm like, oh, that's where the tide has turned. So I'm willing to have that one, because I always think the players really step up now, the male players this is, step up in ways that they hadn't before, and they actually do some really great work in normalizing family and supporting their partners. And I think that that goes a really long way in footy. I really hate the conversation around the biff. I'm like, it's gone. It's not coming back. Shut up, your face holes. I'm just done with that conversation. So boring. I actually have got no interest in State of Origin. I'm like, please don't add another game. I'm sorry, Tess. Like, get over it. I would rather them see like the players do it's a knockout or something. I don't want them to play another game of football. There's too much football. I feel like there's too many games.
This is another perennial conversation
about fixtures
that I love.
I love it too, and I think that we should talk about that one more.
Do you feel like, though, it's like they've got their fingers in ears at AFLHQ, and like, despite the fact that I actually think almost everyone is in agreement that there's too many games, that they play too many games.
Not them.
The buy rounds are like 1,000 years long and it's so boring. So just play less games and have less buys and then have more women playing footy. Happy days. But they're just like, no, that's not going to happen. And I understand there are commercial issues, but I'm happy to keep putting that one in the we're keeping it box. We've just got to keep saying, like, this, the fixturing is weird.
But the thing that I'll say about the storytelling around this stuff, it's the same with climate change and concussion, I would say. The more we have the conversation, the more we talk about it, the more license it feels to give people to go like, oh, it's a bit diluted now. We don't really need to act on it. Like, I feel like when something really strong happens, like something really, really bad happens, we talk about it quickly and sharply and something will change. But this concussion conversation, I actually feel like where it's going to differ to climate change is that people are going to go, it's just personal responsibility. You know what? If you want to earn the big bucks and play this game, what might happen is that you might end up getting really severely injured and having a terrible life, or, you know, not remembering any of your playing days. And that is personal responsibility. It's on you, the end. And then we'll all just kind of go, hush, hush. Oh, we're still supporters. Oh, well, at least they know the duty of cares with them. Like, I don't feel that that's going to be a mass class action changes the whole face of the game. I just don't see that happening.
It kind of reminds me of the gambling conversation in some ways.
Yes. Just keep pushing it, and then it's there and it's too hard to turn back. Hey, I want to wrap up this conversation because there's some really important other topics that we need to get to, like the fact that someone had their cat at the football. What the actual hell was going on? Like, so we've seen dogs at the football. We've seen a pig at the football. There's all types of birds at the football, but somebody, actually Tim Gill on Twitter, had a photo, and he didn't know the source of the photo, but someone was holding a cat at the football. Does that cat live at the ground? Is my first thought.
Well, I don't think so, because I think there was also a picture of that cat in a cat carrier.
What the hell?
So I've done a little bit of digging. Put on my little monocle and became Hercule Poirot. And the only, I mean, two things came out of this research, right? The first is that there is an official pet partner of AFL players, and that is Jet Pets. Oh. We're not on the ABC, so shout out Jet Pets.
So maybe it was that.
Well, there's that. I don't think it was that.
It was an in-store appearance.
So it leaves me with this must be the option, I think, is that it was a companion animal, because the only pets that you can take to the football are companion
animals.
Well,
now I love it.
Yes. What's an official companion?
So, yes, there are official – no, there are official companion – no, because you can have assistance animals.
Comfort animals.
With a whole range of things, like if you're neurologically diverse or if you have – certain disorders where a companion animal is going to be helpful.
Yep.
And we did see last week that young Benjamin ran through the banner for Carlton and had his assistant dog Harvey with him. That was actually the first time, I can't believe we missed talking about it last week, but the first time an assistance dog has been on the MCG on match day. So my conclusion is that this was a companion animal cat.
I like that so much. Yeah. That makes you a really great detective, and I hope that that's true. Another massive story this week. Ted, I'm going to need you to give us the full Larry on this. The COVID-safe grand final parade floating down the Yarra River. Have I got it right?
It's true. So first of all, I do a radio spot on the ABC on Friday, and it was on like with Kate Roffey, the Demons president. And I was like looking at this story going, I'm not sure. You know, sometimes things get batted up and you're not quite sure if it is true or not. And then I looked into it. And you all know that I'm quite sarcastic, and I've said I'm a traditionalist, but I'm very for this. And I know that my voice still sounds sarcastic, like I'm leading up to a joke, but I'm like actually really for it because it's both funny and COVID safe. And I both love those two things deeply, like with my soul. So yes, the plan is essentially that, unlike the previous, did you know, by the way, that the route that they take has been changed like 5 or 6 times?
Yeah.
So no one, it's like Australia Day. Like it hasn't been the day for that long. We could just change it. But anyway, it hasn't been the route for that long. We could just get over it. So they get on the boat at Fed Square. And if you're not in Melbourne, it's not that far away, to be honest, from the MCG. So then they toddle up on the river, on the boats, until they get to the Birrumba area, close to the MCG. They then hop on the back of the cars like usual and then zoom up the hill to the MCG to be presented. Now, there's a few things to get through, which is mostly like what is happening, but also secondly, the type of boat I think is quite important, because if it was, for example, a party boat, that's a nightmarish tone and we don't want to see that with many of the players. If it's a yacht, I think it sends the message that players are paid too much money and they're too posh and they come from private schools, which is something that they should definitely avoid. A canoe that the players have to row themselves, I feel like is an injury risk, like it's just the day before. You don't want anyone to be pulling a shoulder or whatever. A Huckleberry Finn type raft, I feel that they would just go down on their own time, I think could work quite well. Jet skis, obviously very obnoxious but quite funny for TV.
Grand Prix on
so
the
I think that could work, but I
stand up paddleboard with a friend on the front.
That's that's right. Super mindful, quite good. Yeah. And so anyway, also why stop there? Umpires on restaurant tram. There's a lot that we could do with this. If we're thinking
have
alternative
routes.
Have they
thought of a pool pony?
Oh, pool pony. Oh, I love it. I love it.
I loved a pool pony.
I would like to see Richard Goiter or Gil arrive in the Lady Gaga egg, just being carried by the other commissioners. Maybe coaches in blimps.
Ooh, love a blimp. Very underused.
Underused. We don't need to see them. They're just hanging above.
Would anyone do a gondola?
Oh,
very romantic.
Yes. Very romantic.
Romantic, but I feel like there'd be some Omen Watch kind of bias
because of the stripes.
Towards Geelong because of the stripes.
I'm thinking Sam's you. All right. Well, I like the idea of using the river, and I like that it's COVID safe. And I will just also say we never get an AFLW parade, and I know that it's because the grand final is played in different states, but I'm sick and tired of that excuse. I'm just saying.
Most states have rivers. So if we're going here,
yeah,
we can canoe it up in any of the states.
Those pool ponies are inflatable, right? You can pack them in a suitcase.
You can all be responsible for your own.
Yes, love it.
All right, let's I want to finish this chat, this very serious chat, with a little something because you know that we love to see our game through the eyes of people from overseas. And recently I was listening to an episode of The Dollop, which is an American history podcast that was recorded, this episode was recorded in Melbourne during the comedy festival this year. And it was just after Hawthorn had beaten Geelong in round five. Can you believe Hawthorn beat Geelong? You look at Geelong now and you think, excuse me? Like, what business did we have beating you? Anyway, Hawthorn beat Geelong in round five this year, and Ned Reeves, who is our Hawthorn's 209-centimetre ruckman, injured his shoulder, and the American comedian Dave Anthony, who's the host of The Dollop, mentioned it in the episode, and I just found this absolutely delightful and I want to share it with you now.
Well, they lost last night. So I didn't know. They hurt the other team's giant. I was watching the game and I was like, that's their giant.
You mean the cop?
No, the Hawthorn has a giant on their team.
Hawthorn has a legal giant?
I think every team has one giant.
One giant.
You're allowed one giant?
Sometimes you have like a second giant.
You can get another giant. But this team only had one giant and then they broke him.
So their giant was broken. Yeah, and this is a sporting event.
Yep.
Okay.
Why have we not always called the Rucks the Giants? We get two Giants each. If you're over a certain height, I think that we should refer to them as Giants. Imagine how many more people – we've been trying to work out how to get into other states and territories and countries. You tell people we've got Giants playing, they're in, mate. Like, it's done. Job done.
Fantasy round as well. Like, there's good dress-up areas here. But what would we call the Giants from the Giants? Like, is that two – are they double Giants?
A whole team of Ruck. Like,
yeah, okay.
Giant squared.
The Rucks. We'll rename them the Rucks. Yeah, okay.
Because this is the wonderful thing about our game, right, is that when Ned has to get down on the ground to pick up the ball, or even if you look at Ben McAvoy at the moment, like, he creaks. I can hear his bones creaking as he's leaning over trying to pick up a ball. It's really hard to do. You need a Toby Green for business like that. You need those low-to-the-ground people. You need those underground people to do it. You need Ginnivan, right? You need those really – low behind, under the knees, all that kind of stuff. And so you can't actually have a team of all ruck. They can't all be the drummer.
It's all ruck until somebody gets hurt.
For mine, I've always thought that overseas people look at the game and think, what do they make of the song? What do they make of the crepe paper banners? Is this, you know, I feel a bit, oh, it's so weird. It's so niche and so weird. But all along they were just looking at the giant that we all get around in the at the centre bounce. And it made me really laugh. All right, we've got some pretty significant other business. Teddy, in the edit, can you put a little drum roll in here?
Oh, love it, yeah.
Do you love a drum roll? Brrr.
I mean, you know, it's fine. A flute solo. Why don't they ever get it though?
Yeah, okay. I mean, Lulu's bringing it back. I'm happy if you want to put a flute solo in here. Lulu, do you want to do the big announcement, given that you sit by the hot tap as the oldest sister of the pod?
I would be honoured. We are having a live event, which is so exciting. Haven't done it for a while. And thanks to Swinburne's Sport Innovation Research Group, we will be getting along to Swinburne University. It is on Monday, the 5th of September, from 6 p.m. till 8 p.m., And we will be bringing you all inside the Outer Sanctum group chat. Mm-hmm. So we look forward to seeing everybody who can get along. Tickets are free. You just do need to register for them. So we will put a link in the show notes and we will be sharing that link in the socials as well.
But we've elected to launch it here first so that if you're listening to the pod, you get first dibs at the tickets. So go to the show notes, click on the link, make sure you get yourself a ticket, and once the episode's been up for a couple of hours, we'll then announce it on the socials so everyone else can catch up. We really hope to see people there. Basically, what we're trying to bring to life for Social Sciences Week at Swinburne University is how we use the social sciences to pull together the Outer Sanctum podcast each week. So it's not necessarily coming to see a live recording of an episode. It's coming to see a live workshop of how we get to the episode, and then there'll be a little bit of episode chat as well. So we hope to see you there. Thanks so much to Swinburne. Thanks to Emma Sherry and to Casey Simons for coming to us with this, because they're such great friends of the pod, and we're very grateful to be invited along to Swinburne, and it's a beautiful, accessible venue. We hope to see you there, and what can we do? High five, rub elbows, wear a mask.
We'll be on boats.
Something like that. We'll be on boats, probably on boats.
Mm. Yeah, yeah. I'll be on a jet ski, but unlike you guys.
Something like that. Okay, it is time for us to get out of here. Is there any more final business? Are you guys happy to wrap this up?
I've got one shout out to Kane Lambert, who's announced his retirement from Richmond. You should always try and manifest a Kane Lambert in your own team. You know, someone who's not the main star, just does an exceptional amount of work. The stories about his pre-season training and the amount of work he put in to his footy are just exceptional. And there's a cool stat for you coming to you from Sir Swamp Thing, which is that of the 2017, 2019, 2020 premierships that Richmond played, there were three players that kicked a goal in every single one. Dustin Martin, you've probably heard of him. Jack Riewoldt, oh yeah, you've probably heard of him. And Kane Lambert. Consistent, excellent club person, loved watching him play, and I'm sad that he's retiring, but good on him. Good luck with your future endeavours.
Massive shout out there. I've got a stat that I really want Swamp to get back to me on. I haven't asked him about it, but I will. I feel like Richmond is the one team that always procures the players called Ivan or Ivan. I feel like no other teams have ever had an Ivan.
I would take, like, if we were talking quotas, like they've been in the news, like I'd take like a 2 to 3 quota Ivan in a Richmond team at once. I love an Ivan. As you know, the old Amarik is my favourite of the players, and I'm fond of the young Soldo. So I'd take any Ivan any day. But, yeah, we should put it to Swamp and find out.
Mm. One other little shout out to friend of the pod, Gemma Bastiani, who is doing a countdown on her Twitter account as we get ready for the next AFLW season. And there are some choice little morsels of statistics for each day.
Choice morsels.
I love choice. Gem's doing a great job there. I like that I said, is there any final business? Let's wrap up. And then we talked for another 10 minutes.
And that is our problem.
Don't give us the option.
Can talk.
Okay.
I would say.
We're all
don't
finished.
Give it, don't
no
ask
more.
A question.
Zip yeah. it. Zip. Okay, we're out of here. There's only one thing left to say, and that is...
Unzip.
Go footy. Footy.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.